not who I am. Started when I talked with Uncle Sam. I wanted to be all I can be, following the footsteps of my family.
Everybody be on their best behavior, please. We are now recording. Anything you say can and will be used against you later on in this show.
All right.
Yeah, I call this a test run, but really, we're pros at everything that we do, right?
Yeah.
I don't even need that. Sorry.
You got that DJ look going there, like DJ.
Well, my initials are DJ.
Paulie.
Luke. Jeez.
Oh, that's
true. DJ.
I didn't even know that.
I was literally born to do this.
That is.
Not kidding.
It's your calling.
Yeah, thank you. Well, hey, thanks for coming, and thanks for tuning in. We're actually just going to have a blast, and you're just going to watch. But in all seriousness, I'm Donald Jenkins. I do Nashville Hits Collecting Dust podcast, and I'm a huge supporter and friend, really, of Richard Casper, which is the co-founder of Creative Vets. Something very I'm passionate about, because at the end of the day, I mean, let's be honest, veterans in general and kind of everything that we get to do, honestly, is because of our military. I don't know any other way to say it. I'm not in the military. I can't relate. But yeah. Obviously what you guys do is so important, and not just what y'all do everywhere, but like when you get home, that's the thing, right? Yeah. The battle is not done just because you're not over there fighting. And Richard has a phenomenal story. If you haven't heard it, you know, it's on my show, but this really isn't about me or the podcast. It's really about Richard. It's about Creative Vets. And we got Luke Pell here, who is actually taking over. So this has nothing to do with me. Luke said,
"This is my time."
Luke didn't even give us a choice. He's like, "Actually, I'm taking over your house, your studio."
Taking it by force.
And we're going to allow him just to go. That's right. Allow him to take over and really introduce and kind of ask Richard questions. We want you guys to engage too, though, because I got super sick DJ McCarty over there.
Super sick.
We're hoping. Packs. We're actually hoping that he is the most technical one out of all of us, because things could go dark right now and we'd have no idea what we're doing.
You're in good hands, my friend.
Yeah, make sure they get. I hope everyone can hear us. Maybe comment as the people commented about hearing us and stuff.
I see some people commenting, so yeah. If there's any questions or anything, please throw them. I would be as engaged as possible.
And we'll say your name and everything.
Yes.
Maybe.
So I see a lot of comments, but it's just more of highs. So one high back. We'll get going.
Very cool. Well, Luke, hey, it's your takeover, man. So hey. I'm going to let you pick up the mic, and then when I get tired of hearing you, I'm going to take over.
Then just shut me down. Tap me out. No, first of all, I'm just glad to be here. I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, my background. For those of you that don't know, I went to West Point for college, and that was kind of my introduction into the military. I spent 5 years after West Point serving as an officer in the Army. And so everything veteran related is very near and dear to my heart. And so as a songwriter, an artist here in Nashville, when I met Richard here a couple months ago, back earlier this summer, and he told me about what Creative Vets does, I was like, that is a perfect nonprofit cause that really aligns with what I do as a veteran, as a songwriter, and just as a person, for me to partner with and give back. And so I was so excited. I think it was, you know, meant to be that I met up with Richard and was able to work with Creative Vets. So I'm excited to be here and excited about what the future holds too, and with, you know, my partnership with Creative Vets. So with that, I would like to get to know and let these folks know a little bit about, you know, your story with, you know, Creative Vets. You're the co-founder of Creative Vets. Can you kind of let us know how you got started with Creative Vets yourself?
Yeah, and it's a crazy story, and that's like the whole co-founding thing with Creative Vets. Because when I came home, at first I didn't ever plan on having a nonprofit when I got back from Iraq. I was injured in 2006 and 2007. My Humvee was hit 4 different times by IEDs. So I ended up with a left traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
And so that affects a lot of my technical skills. Like, I can't learn a lot of new things. I can sit there. I've tried with Photoshop a lot of times to just, like, go over it, and I'll have a class. And I'm like, okay, cool, right. I got this. A week later, I have no idea what I'm doing. I had a lot of problems when I first enrolled in college when I got back. Also, on top of that, my buddy was shot and killed when I was over there. So that emotionally weighed on me more than anything.
Sure.
So I had these anxieties and depression about not knowing who I was because I was having a problem in class. I couldn't talk to people. I'd physically throw up before class.
Yeah.
But then I was having these emotional disconnections with people because I just lost a really good friend. I didn't know how to deal with that. They didn't give us time to recover from that. And so I went down this path of like super just darkness, and I didn't do anything like physically to harm myself, or I didn't go drink a bunch or anything like that. But I was just, I didn't know where I was going in life. I was staying at home. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want to make relationships. I just wanted to do my own thing. So I always wanted to be successful no matter what I did. So I was like, I'm still going to go to college. I'm just going to do art because I used to be able to draw. And if I could be by myself and go through 4 years of just doing my own thing, that's how I'm going to succeed. But what I didn't know is that it was going to change my life because I had one teacher in Bloomington, Illinois at Heartland Community College, Mac, shout out. He was phenomenal as like a kid. Like you go to a community college, you think you're going to get some teachers who are good, but not like on another level because this is basic art. You'd think that you're just learning how to draw little techniques. Sure. But I was sitting there with a photo of me at my Gunner's grave. Right. And I was going to do a pastel drawing of this with all the colors, like the grass green, the sky blue.
Right, right.
And he comes up to me and he says, hey, instead of doing, you know, the sky blue and the grass green, do it a color that evokes emotion out of you that will let someone know that you as the artist created this and that you felt something from this moment instead of people just seeing another piece of artwork and then moving on.
Right.
And to me, I was like, that's a really cool idea. So I put red everywhere besides me and him.
Yeah.
And then when I put it up, people are like, the red is the blood that was shed, or there was the emotions that you were feeling at the time. And it was so awesome to me to know that they knew my story without me telling them my story.
Sure.
Took all the pressure off me.
That's unbelievable.
So after that, I applied for the best art school in the country because why not, you know?
Right.
And I actually got in, and I kind of got in on that. I sold myself. I was like,
right,
I want to talk about war as an art form, and I want to talk about the loss of innocence and all these things I can't get off my chest. That's what I want to do. Right. And I really feel like this is the place I need to do it. And so I enrolled, and at that point, I still had some anxiety, some depression.
Yeah.
And then, but I really got into this conceptual based art, and I was telling my story. I was doing art about war for the longest time, and that was very successful, and it's helping me and helping me and helping me.
Right.
But then it got to a point where I still didn't know how to talk about Luke, my buddy who died.
Right.
And I was like, I wrote about him. I would just write constantly, do little short stories. And I was like, this would be awesome if it was a song, because then I could push it out to people, and then I don't have to talk to them, and they could just know my story, know he lit, know that he lived.
Right, right.
And so I was writing a little bit. My buddy Brett Gillen taught me my first chords on the guitar because I was like, okay, I'm going to try this out. And I tried to write a song, and it wasn't on par with his legacy. Yeah. I was like, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it with the best writers in the country in Nashville.
Right, right, sure.
So when I was up at Joe's Bar working while I was going to college still at the school there in Institute, Mark Irwin was up there. And Mark Irwin has like 10 or 11 number one hits. So at first I didn't think he was going to take this idea, because I just went to him and I was like, man, I have so much inside me right now that I can't get out.
Right.
If I come to you, will you help me turn it into a song? And he said, yeah. So I came down to Nashville, wrote with him. We wrote like 1.5 songs. And I was like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Right.
And so at that point in my head, still not thinking nonprofit, I was just thinking, I have a buddy named Jesse who really needs to tell his story. Right. And I wonder if I could bring him down. So I did like a little GoFundMe page, $300, got him down here. Me and him drove down here together. We sat with Blackjack Billy, wrote a song. And from that moment on, I was like, okay, this needs to be a nonprofit. So there's this lady that I randomly met. And this is a crazy story too. You ready for this, Party McCarty?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Oh, wait, can you imagine Richard not being able to talk or be social? Do y'all? Yeah. I mean, if you think the therapy and the art that you have done doesn't work, like they just need to meet Richard.
Yeah. I was like, this program works.
Richard was like, no, I couldn't go into a class because the anxiety and people.
Exactly.
And now, honestly, I mean, not that you talk too much.
He's a social butterfly.
He's like everywhere he goes, which is awesome.
I'm like, be my friend. Yeah. It's crazy too. And that's what when I tell people that, they're like, no way.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, like beginning of class, I'd be that kid that's like sitting there with a bottle of water, like, don't talk to me, don't throw up, don't talk to me, don't throw up. And just like, and that's it'd be crazy. So hard for me to even go into a class.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah. And So just like that, I started noticing these changes as I was doing that songwriting program and as I was doing the art program. So Linda, Linda Tarson is her name. She's the co-founder. Mm-hmm. And I was going, it was my roommate's birthday, and she was like, hey, my dad's coming up, and he was on drill, so he's still in his camis. Right. And it was like the day before Veterans Day.
Right.
And this is in Chicago, and so we go to a steakhouse for her dinner, and then these two ladies walk by, and they're like, oh, hey, like, we just wanted to say thank you for your service and all this stuff. And then we talked a little bit, but my friend's dad was like, hey, you shouldn't thank me. Thank Richard. He was injured in the war, and I feel like I didn't do too much, but, you know, just thank him. And then the two ladies left, and then one of them came back, and she was like, and that was Linda. She's like, are you guys going to the Bears game tomorrow? And I was like, and I didn't really talk very much. Even at that time, I was still kind of like down.
Yeah.
And we're like, no. And she's like, cause I have three tickets to the Bears game tomorrow. Right, and it's salute to the veterans cause it's Veterans Day. And I want you guys to have them.
Sure.
So we were just like, well, that's absolutely amazing. And yes, if you're going to offer that, like we would love to be a part of that.
Right.
And so she told me to pick up the tickets at her place, and we went, got the tickets, went to the game, and it meant so much more to me because they played the Houston Texans, which is where Luke Jepson's buried, and I go every single year to visit his grave. So it was like my team versus his team.
Right.
These tickets, it meant so much to me.
Yeah.
And so after the game, I wrote to Linda just saying, like, I don't know what I could do to repay you and how like emotional this was, and I just need to let you know this. So we just keep up for a month. We like just every week we'd catch up, see how each other's doing. After I started doing this, after I brought Jesse down myself, I was like, I want to turn this into a nonprofit. And we're just eating one time, catching up. And I was like, I want to do this. And she's like, okay, let's make this a nonprofit.
Right.
So she had a lot of connections that helped me set up my board and got me into this whole flow of, I never started a nonprofit before.
Right, right.
And then from there's history. Now here we are today.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. I love that story. It's like, you know, it's one of those deals that just good things happen to good people, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm a full believer in that. And so how long ago was that when that actually happened? When y'all officially formed the nonprofit?
Yeah, it was July 2013 when we officially it got incorporated.
Right.
And then, so it probably was just like maybe the end of the year before that I took Jesse.
Right.
So it was just that building up. I had to graduate college and I did that December of 2012.
Right.
And then by July, we had a full nonprofit.
Okay, so like 3 years basically that it's been in existence.
We just started our fourth year.
Talk to me a little bit about what you do beyond just songwriting with veterans. What else do you do with veterans?
So we have, and I'll go into a little bit more about songwriting because I think a lot of people don't actually know what we do with the songwriting, like the whole thing. But our big program right now, it takes forever to get going because it's such a massive program, is we bring combat disabled veterans from all over the country that don't know how to do art, that have never, some have dabbled in art and maybe that's their interest to go. But we enroll them into that number one art school in the country. And we pay for their tuition. We pay for their housing, their food, all 3 weeks. And it's peer-to-peer. So I'm actually teaching the course with the other world-renowned teachers that teach there. And they're putting their input in. So they're, the veterans at that point are, their happiness has to be outweighed by their anxieties and their depression to get them to go outside of what they normally do. So that's how I set that up. I was like, I want to use the number one art schools.
Right.
I want to use the best teachers in the country. And I want it to be with other combat veterans so that's that they know that it's a safe environment. Because when I started in college, that was one of the biggest thing. I was like, nobody knows what I'm going through.
You needed a safe environment.
Yeah, I needed a battle buddy. And if I knew everyone in the class was a combat vet, I would have been successful from day one.
Yeah.
But they weren't. And so I want to give that environment to people so that they can go to college afterwards once they know that they can do it.
And I think that's what's huge about having you at the helm of this whole thing is that you went through it yourself and you formed it from scratch. And so you see the pitfalls, you see the strengths and weaknesses going forward, and you're able to kind of form it and make it work for veterans that are just coming into it maybe for the first time. Yeah. Hey, while we're on Facebook Live here, I know I want to kind of interact with some folks. For if you guys that are just jumped on here, welcome, first of all. I'm here with Richard Casper, the co-founder of Creative Vets. He's been kind of just going through telling us his story and how Creative Vets got started, who he started it with, and also his personal story prior to when he saw the need to start Creative Vets as a nonprofit. And so you guys be thinking of questions. We want to interact with you guys today about if it's Creative Vets that you have a question about, or something about one of us, or something about Nashville, anything that you really have, just go ahead and jump on there and ask some questions in the feed, and we'll get to those here in just a few more minutes. So
we have a handful, so okay. We're ready.
I saw you smile every once in a while.
Well, yeah. It's just tons of thumbs up, tons of hearts. Yeah. Just people awesome. People want to know some things.
Yeah.
Like whenever we're ready for that.
Yeah.
Good to see you guys. Nelly, Nikki, hey, we got Ben McCarthy.
Oh, I went to school with him.
You know Ben? All yeah. right. What's up? Debbie Higgs. Yeah, Canada. She says we need a program like that in Canada. Absolutely.
That's one thing I've been wanting to do, because there's a program that we're trying to do in Vietnam with Vietnam veterans and then Vietnamese veterans and pairing them up together. It's something that obviously we're not going to be able to do until we get the money to do it, until we get everything set. But this is like, we're an open book. I want you to know where we're going and what we're trying to do. And we're trying to bridge huge gaps. And I've always wanted a program for any of our allies, really, because they go through the same thing. Like, they come home and they don't know how to deal with it. If you look at me, like, I'm a 6'5" combat Marine. I rode a Harley. Like, when I went to that school, I didn't look like I fit in, because I didn't fit in. Right. I wasn't the mold. But I wanted veterans to see that you could be this dude who went to combat and is a big guy, and you could do conceptual art and you don't have to be labeled for it.
Yeah.
So I want to give the opportunity to everybody in every other country that is suffering like we are. So I would absolutely love to have a program like this in Canada. Yeah.
So you guys are taking steps in that direction to expand it already.
We don't know, because we're so grassroots.
Right.
But my vision, if it stays intact, hopefully in 10 years we'll be in other countries and just helping everybody who's been through a combat situation talk about it for the first time.
Right.
Because that's really what they're doing. Is I'm sitting in these rooms with them, and I'm like, what's that one thing you can't tell your family or friends? And they tell me, because they know that I've been through what they've been through.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm going to help you tell that, but in a creative way that nobody will know specifically what we're talking about, but they're going to know your struggle. And we're going to only let them know as much as you want them to know.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I want to speak to that point just from my personal experience so far with Creative Vets. And that, you know, you and I, the other day, we flew in Xavier De Leon from California. Mm-hmm. And that was my first write as a songwriter with Creative Vets. And we had Andy Albert in there, who also wrote Blake Shelton's number one hit. And She's Got Away With Words and some other songs that are on country radio right now. So we got in there with Xavier, and like, we're in 10, 15 minutes into his story. And he knows that we're both combat veterans, and we can relate to what he's saying. Yeah. He goes straight into a story from 10 years ago, 2006, I think it was, in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know from, you know, my own experience that it seems like yesterday as soon as you start telling those stories and recalling those memories, you know. And so he got into that, and it got super deep and just got real just so quick. And it was that moment for me. I was like, wow, this, you know, it's all kind of happening quick. And we bring a guy in, we fly him in, we sit down in a room, and all of a sudden, all the walls come down, and we're just talking about this guy's story, who he lost. And that's, at the moment, I was like, man, I'm sold on this. This is really making a difference. We wrote a song that day with a hit songwriter. We're able to tell his story, and now his story will live, forward. And he can be able to go and use that later to kind of help that family cope with their losses of his friends and his fellow soldiers that he lost and his own family. So
and it does happen so fast, and that's what a lot of people don't know. It's like, you could sit with a veteran all day and try to get him to talk about things if you're a civilian, and they're not going to budge. The moment you put another combat vet in the room, it's like, okay, let's talk. And Jesse, the very first veteran we ever brought through here, his testimony when he came back, what he told everybody was that 3-hour writing session I did was more beneficial to me than 7 years at the VA hospital. And it was just so good to know, because at that time I didn't even know I just wanted him to share his story. I wanted him to be able to talk.
Right.
I didn't know the impact it was going to have on him, and especially the impact it would have on the writers.
Right.
The writers, when they see that this veteran is so intimate with them for the first time, telling them things that they never told anybody, it's just a whole other ball game. And they're like, we got to make this song perfect. And they come out of it with so much more sense of freedom and patriotism. And they're just like, please let me do this again and again.
Right. I love this. So let's remind folks right now, while we're in the middle of this, what does Creative Vets need? How can folks help Creative Vets?
We need more songwriters if we're going to every country, is all I
Other languages.
As a we're very grassroots. So the number one thing is money, obviously. And that's what it's so hard with.
Right.
I'm the man on the ground, the program director now and founder. And right. I have my buddy, Jeremy Durbin, who's the executive director. So everything you see with Creative Vets, all these little events going on, you see me going to connect with VCU, which I'll talk about later as another art school,
sure.
and SCIC, and building these programs is between just me and him. So right. we also do the Facebook and all that stuff. So we don't have the time to dive into grants and funding as much as we right. need. So that's like the number one thing right. is just.
And so y'all are working the fundraising very diligently on a high level, on a macro level.
Yeah.
How can just the everyday guy that's tuned in right now or that just hears about Creative Vets, how can they help?
Yeah. I mean, are you talking about like little ways to donate?
Yeah. And stuff
like that? Yeah. Because
if it's at an event, if it's just directly online giving, like what can they do to literally go click on something and help?
Yeah. On creativevets.org, there's one way to donate because you go through there and it's a PayPal thing. But also, right. we just hooked up with Venmo, which was this guy's idea, Party McCarty. And so if you actually go to and you might not be able to see it if you're on a phone, but if you see it on TV, it's at Creative Vets. And you could just legitimately just be like, at Creative Vets, here's $1. And this is in honor of one of my friends who served in the military.
Absolutely.
And that'll be a super easy way where you don't have to go through a lot of things. And if you have Venmo, it's just, you know, transfer money that way. And that would help us out tons. And so it's these little things. Like when the Chive picked up our story, they raised $20,000 in one day because it was nobody was donating like $2,000, $3,000. It was a bunch of people donating $5,
right.
$10. Absolutely. And that's all it takes. But a lot of people think that they need to make that huge donation. Right. And they don't have
right.
to.
Absolutely.
And I mean, so it's just like little stuff like that that trickles in that helps us. Because our songwriting program, for every veteran that comes in, it's between $2,500 and $3,000 per right. veteran. Because we fund their flights here, their hotels, their food, the whole time. Because yeah. we never want them to have a reason to not come. And then for our art program, it's about $8,000 for every veteran because we're paying right. for their tuition, housing, and sometimes that varies. But so we're investing everything we can into these veterans.
Right.
And so we want to expand our programs. We want to give them lessons for the next year with songwriting, with art. But we can't do that without the money right. coming in and then the programs.
It's a nonprofit. It needs growth. It needs exactly. help. And I think one of the biggest things, just like any other nonprofit, is overall exposure. You know, how can...
Oh, exactly.
You know, there's those other veterans nonprofits, you know, the Wounded Warriors of the world, the Helping a Hero of the world, that have been around for many years. They've got a lot of fundraising dollars because they've got a lot of exposure. And so I think that's one of the things that, you know, we're trying to do, and you guys yep. have a grassroots method of doing that, is getting Creative Vets exposure. And so, you know, I want to go on record and say that I am so... I've seen a lot of military fundraising nonprofits, and with this one and the people, you know, yourself included, and I've met Linda as well, the staff that you guys have, I know that I feel like you have 100% of the best intentions. I know how much goes back to the vets and everything goes back to benefit them, not only in a monetary way, but also in the purpose and what they come away with mm-hmm. After going through one of these programs. And so you know, that's why I was so happy to sign on and say, how can I help
yeah.
get the word out and get Creative Vets the exposure that it needs to go and then in turn help these veterans across the country.
Yeah.
So
thanks so much. Cause that is, yeah. that would probably be the second thing is exposure. Cause if we don't have the veterans, then we don't have a program either. And what we're trying to do is we help combat disabled veterans. So it's not just every veteran across the board. It's the one, there's 22 suicides a day. And if we can realistically find when that pendulum tilt and that they suffered from an incident,
sure.
we can take that incident and make it a positive because they get to share their story.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at combat disabled veterans who were like me, who don't want to leave their house, who don't want to go anywhere. How do you get to them? You get to them with music, with TV, with personalities, with video games. Like you try to go every direction to get in their house so that they know a program like mine exists. So they apply for our program and they actually right. want to come out here. And that's a big reason I wanted to do this live thing too, is so they kind of see my personality. They can know that they're coming out here and hanging out with one cool dude, and we're gonna go listen to great music and write songs.
Okay, don't go too far.
Okay. All
right. I was just about to vouch, and then he said that.
I can't.
Taking it too far.
Dang it.
No, I do want to reiterate one thing, and this is something that, like, as friends, other friends have said that, you know, Richard, you don't even. I mean, I'm telling y'all, like, you don't even take a salary for yourself. Like when I say everything goes and then like this is
yeah,
kind of his
absolutely.
Life. I mean, and there's been times when I'm like, dude, you know, you can you need to live.
And, yeah,
you know, but exactly. That's kind of like how unselfish he is, mm-hmm, at the end of the day. That's how much it means to him. It's not even a job. I mean, it's a lifestyle for him. So
right.
At the end of the day, that's kind of what you just see. And then I was fortunate enough, because I'm not a songwriter, yeah, but I was fortunate enough to go and meet a veteran with him one time in the hospital. And yeah, we took an artist buddy and it was funny. Matter of fact, I don't know if I can give him a shout out, but he did say Richard's the man on Facebook Live. So
that's awesome, man.
Mr. May, I saw you. All right. Yeah, yeah. Holler.
Yeah.
So it was so
Danny
cool.
Danny May in the
house. Danny May. Yeah. So, but, and then I got to hear the song that y'all wrote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable. Like, it was unbelievable how much he opened up to Richard.
Right.
Like, if it had just been me and somebody else, and then Richard goes, it's the same language.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, there's something, you know, veterans always feel comfortable with other veterans. That's the one thing. And I know that from my experience, man, those guys that I haven't even seen some of those guys since we were in Afghanistan, you know, that we just ran cross paths and we worked together for just a couple months there. And then we, you know, we're apart. And if I see them today, I run into them on the street, I feel like we never skip a beat, right? Yeah. Because you get such a deep bond with guys that you've fought for, you know, tooth and nail and fought with in life and death situations in war. That, and so it's that same thing when we're able to represent veterans and Nashville and songwriters in these scenarios, these guys, they feel comfortable, you know, opening up and telling their story. So that's awesome. Do y'all want to jump to some questions let's talk to these folks a little bit?
What's amazing is that with Facebook Live, we've had so many comments and questions.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get to them. There's so many.
Yeah.
But awesome. So we'll ask a couple kind of general music ones. Luke, they were directed at you. So Ariel said, has music always been a passion of yours before military?
Yeah, you know, that's funny. Music was a passion of mine growing up. I was raised on a horse ranch down in Texas, and I had to wake up every morning at 5 a.m. and go clean the horse stalls out, clean the barn, and I had a radio in there, and I would just crank that thing like every morning, like 5 a.m. I'd be like, I don't want to get up. I got to go to football practice after this, you know? And so, I mean, I was singing to Clint Black and Garth Brooks and all those people like when I was just a little kid, and it was just something that, you know, of course, it's kind of cliche, but a lot of people, I started singing in church, which I did start singing in church, but anyway, so yeah, music has always been a passion of mine, and then, you know, I ended up at West Point, and, you know, the military, just the overall, what we call military battle rhythm, or the pace of life is very high, and you're gone a lot, and you're traveling a lot, and it makes it hard to kind of get back to Nashville and be attached to songwriting, but it makes for a lot of good stories and a lot of good material when you're a songwriter later after that experience. You know, it's something I'm glad I'm able to circle back and do now. So yeah, thanks for that question.
No, that's a great question. So another one would be, who are your musical inspirations?
Musical inspirations.
Ooh, besides Richard Casper.
After Richard. my musical inspirations are such a wide variety. You know, there's what I grew up on, you know, that everybody inherently has a little piece of that in them. If it was from some Ricky Skaggs, like bluegrass, to I had the first, I think, Pure Country soundtrack from George Strait.
That's awesome.
To, like, my first live concert was watching Clint Black at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. He came out in the back of a Ford truck, like, hooping and hollering.
That's a good
show.
I was
like, oh, yeah. I was like, I want to be a country singer when I grow up. you know, but you know, that's all stuff when I was younger. But then as I've gotten older, our whole generation, we're all millennials. So, you know, you listen to, you start listening to hip hop and, he looks like a millennial. You should be a millennial, Donald. We won't talk about Donald's age right now. Just be proud that you look like a millennial.
Yeah, okay, and you will just keep going.
I don't know what the parameters are.
Last night, someone thought they were older than him, and they were wrong by 8 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Be proud, Donald.
It was a maturity thing.
So there's so many different influences now that are hip-hop and pop, and I love music as an art, and I appreciate what so many people come up with. The creativity is the coolest part about it. You're like, there's a lot of people in country that, oh, they're like, oh, that's that new country, bro country. Like, they want to hate on different, you know, where the direction of country music is going or whatever. And I'm inherently a country guy. I grew up down in Texas. But I completely appreciate the pop side of it and the evolution of, you know, where music's going. So
to follow up with that, if you could go on tour with one country singer,
yeah,
who would it be? Question from Grace.
Dirks. Bentley. That would be a blast.
Yeah. You heard that, Dirks? I know you're watching.
He's like,
He's like, I'm watching.
You just comment. In his journal right now.
He said in. So, Richard, who are your artistic inspirations?
Ooh. And you know what was funny was when you're talking about like actual art and not music, when I went to the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, that was the biggest learning curve because teachers were to get mad at me when I was like, I don't know who this guy Deschamps is that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Who is this Pollock dude? Like, what are you guys talking? Like, they're like, who's your inspiration? I was like, I draw all my inspiration from war. Like, I don't know any other type of artwork. So this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But when it comes musically, it's always been country music. Like, I'm just huge fan of country. Good old Garth Brooks, George Strait, all those guys. And I just love how organic country like goes up and down, and it has these little like where it's like, hey, it's bro country for a while, but then it goes back and Chris Stapleton comes to town and it's like, dang. And it's so good to have those variations because you don't really know what's bad and what's good.
That was a very country thing to say, Richard.
Until you have someone like just changing the game comes along and it just totally reroutes everything. But
cool. I'll just keep rattling off to you guys. Richard, what is your favorite song that a veteran created so far that people can listen to?
Ooh, yeah, I can't play favorites, but...
Go for it.
Well, I mean, there's so many different... There's some that are so creative. I want to talk about a few real quick. So the one actually we just posted earlier, so if you're on the Creative Ets page, or if you want to go to the Creative Ets page, called Old Glory, that's just a cool thing because it's since it, you know, the day after 9/11... In 2001, it was the most patriotic day ever. People put up flags. People did all this. And so this veteran, when he came to the table, he said, I want people to feel like they did back then. Like, I want an American flag to be hung up in every yard. How can we do that? Well, let's write a sing-along song about Old Glory. So we wrote a song about that. So that was just cool because that was played on a naval ship too. And now it's their coming home song. So it's a part of naval history. It was like 3 months later that an aircraft carrier, the band that played, Chris Ferrara, who wrote that, and Joe Bachman, they went to that, it's called a Tiger Cruise, and they went on that ship and they played the song and they just kept wanting it. So they recorded it there and now they play it every time that ship comes to port. So, I mean, that's just something that's in history. And that's why I like that so much. But our most successful song is They Call Me Doc. And I mean, that's just like you have to go listen to that one. That one's mainly on YouTube. I don't think we have a recording of that on our SoundCloud.
Maybe we do have a recording of it.
Well, I mean, you don't want to hear my version of it.
You totally want to hear your
version. So don't listen to his podcast. No, just kidding. I sing it on his podcast. But it's just an amazing song about Corman. Oh, technical difficulties.
Got it.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah.
So
those, I haven't heard that song. I've heard about it. I know Jordan Walker, one of the writers on the,
and Brian Carper and Johnny McGuire. Yeah. They, it's just about, it was cool when this Corman signed up for this because I was like, yes, people need to hear their story.
Yeah.
Nobody knows when they come home, Marines, infantry, Army, infantry, everybody's like, hooray. And then you're like, I'm in the Navy. And they're like, well, what'd you do over there? Sure. They don't understand it, but Corman are with us every step of the way. And their job is to help us when we go down. Like, that's their job, which is crazy to think about. So we wrote a song that just talks about the doc, like, because we call them doc. And this whole process of them, how they have to deal with people who are shot. And then just this great story that you should really go listen to.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah. Hey, I want to say hi to some of the folks that have just signed in. If you just joined us on Facebook Live, I'm here with Richard Casper. He's co-founder of Creative Ets. And we've been talking about what Creative Ets does for veterans in terms of telling their story through art and through songwriting. We're based out of Nashville. Well, Richard's based out of Nashville. Yep. They also work with the Chicago Art Institute. And if you have questions for Richard or myself about being veterans, about what we do with this nonprofit, how I'm involved with this nonprofit, let us know on Facebook Live and we'll try to get to them here before we wrap up.
Or like what Donald uses in his hair and stuff.
Also, great question.
Right.
Maple syrup.
No, it's not about
maple
me.
Maple syrup.
We
picked it up. It's just a little, here's a question from Shelly. It says, for Luke, it says, I see you have done shows with James Taylor from The Bachelorette.
Right.
Is it easy? And now you guys are just firing these questions. Is it easy to jump in and sing with others that have such different vocals as you? Who has been your favorite to sing with?
Yeah, I think that, you know, James and I, we've played a couple of shows together back down in Texas. We did one little songwriter deal here in Nashville back earlier this summer, and James is a great buddy of mine. And yeah, it's always different depending on who you're singing with, but completely a good time for sure. And James is such a fun guy, and anyway, he's a considered brother of mine. So
great. So Richard, hey. from Brandon.
Oh, Brandon.
He says, what are your goals for the next 2 years of creative events or even dreams?
Good question, Brandon. Is it Deathridge?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's my homie. He would ask that. I mean, our dream, one of them was the Vietnam veteran program that I talked about, and that's going to be where we fly like 6 to 9 combat disabled Vietnam veterans, like that era, to Vietnam to study art alongside of Vietnamese veterans.
Right.
So they could bridge the gap and everybody talk about what they're going through in one little safe area.
Yeah, that's really
so
cool.
So we're planning, if that goes through, to happen super late 2017 or early 2018. And also we just had confirmation with VCU, which is the number one public art school in the country. And they're going to do a whole nother class there for veterans in the summertime. So we'll have two running this next year as long as we get the funding in. We're going to have one at VCU and one at SCIC. But we were named Creative Vets because I wanted to do every kind of art there is. So if in 2 years we could expand fast enough, I want to start a film program at like USC or something like that, where we could also help the veterans kind of produce their own story and then show it on video and kind of have actors play out the roles and just all this different type of things. And then farther is, I mean, it's comedy, it's cooking, it's dance, whatever you think an art can be. I want to find that mold for you because every veteran is not going to come to Nashville and be like, this song saved my life. It just may not click. But then I'm like, hey, if this didn't click for you, why don't you try my art program? Right. And then they do. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is where I was meant to be. So I understand that not songwriting is not going to heal everybody. Art's not going to heal everybody. So I want to find everything that works.
That reminds me, while we're on that topic, the film topic, I got a buddy that I played football with in college at West Point named Andy Mazeka. He's out in California and is now working very deeply into film.
Oh, that's awesome.
And from a directing, producing standpoint, and has been talking to me about some projects. So I know that Andy personally, I think he would love to work Creative Vets.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. And that's
connected.
And that's what it is people connecting with other people, but we can't grow that fast, but it's good to know kind of where we're going.
Great. So, best concert you've ever been to for the both of you?
But why the snickers there, Richard?
Was there a funny one?
What
was so funny?
I was thinking about my first concert, which was Three Doors Down, and that's why I laughed.
Right. Was that the best concert?
No, that's why I was just like,
original first New Kids on the Block.
Okay. Wow.
All right.
Fifth grade.
That.
Yeah. That's crazy. I don't know what my favorite... Actually, it was Foreigner. When Foreigner came to 29 Palms, because Lynyrd Skynyrd was supposed to play, and then one of them got appendicitis, so Foreigner filled in, and it was the best show ever. It was legitimately hands down. Like, those old guys could rock it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Unbelievable.
What you got?
My best concert?
Myself. Just kidding.
In the shower, obviously.
Yeah, we're running right into you guys. Dude. I have confidence in my own abilities. No, best concert. Let me think about that. My gosh. I guess the most... Oh, man. That's a tough one. I've been to a lot of different venues and different concerts. Man. There was a... you're going to think this is funny. The most energy that I've ever felt at a concert, and this is funny, was right here in Nashville just like a month ago. Drake was here.
Oh, yeah.
Went to Drake at the Bridgestone, and I was like, man, these people are going nuts in here. Like, there was so much energy in there.
Yeah.
And not just from them on stage, but just everybody in there was crazy.
That's
so
awesome.
Nashville is not
just
because
you're just country music.
Music
doesn't mean
Nashville is not just
only,
it is
only
all
country
music.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all music.
When did you write your first song?
My first song, I guess, I wrote in college. You know, I played piano as a kid and got really heavily into sports and stuff in high school and kind of got away from my music stuff right there at the end of high school. Went into college, and that's when I picked up a guitar my freshman year at West Point. It was kind of my way to escape and get away from the fact that I was locked in this prison they call West Point up in West Point, New York. Yeah. And so, yeah, I could, you know, on the weekends and a little bit of downtime we had, me and a couple of buddies, we could just get in there and play guitar and start, you know, working on songs and stuff. So that was where I really started. And then I got posted at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, right after West Point. And the reason I wanted to be posted there is because it was close to Nashville. And so that would allow me to kind of start getting my feet wet into songwriting on a professional level in Nashville. And that was a dream I had way back then. So, you know, after I served my time in the Army, I got out and, you know, finally worked my way back into Nashville and chasing music as a full-time dream and passion. So,
did they allow you to, like, practice your guitar and songwriting at West Point?
Yeah, sometimes they did if you kept it quiet, you know.
I was about to say, I, like, sure.
You don't go past the curfew. You know, we had lights out at West Point. All the way through my senior year in college, we have lights out. In college. I mean, that's West Point for you.
Yeah. I feel like you and I had similar college experiences.
Where were you at?
I went to Auburn.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So much. So similar. So no, similar.
Do you know what West Point is?
Rush Week.
Do y'all know what sarcasm is? Super sick over there.
Auburn. I get a lot of questions here about where they can see you play. So anywhere that people can see you play in the upcoming future.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. These folks probably on here thought I was going to be on a TV show here in the spring, and as did I. So I'd actually put a lot of dates on hold all through this fall because we were going to be filming The Bachelor. So now those dates are completely open back up. So we're relooking calendars and. Likely, we'll be playing probably mid-November, December. We'll be back out playing shows that you guys can keep up with us on social media and on the website, and you'll see the first dates that pop back up. So I'm excited about getting back out there. It's something I love to do, and I'm glad that I can get back to that now. So
this is a great question. So what advice do both of you have for chasing your dreams and just going for it with starting a business/nonprofit? Probably weighing in this too.
Yeah, absolutely. Don could jump in on this. Yeah. You want to jump in on that, Don?
You have to repeat the question because I know it was to both of them.
Yeah, for chasing your dreams and just going for it with starting a business/nonprofit.
Yeah, I think the first thing, honestly, that's my passion is really talking to people that are willing to pursue a dream, because how many people want to? And let's be honest, nobody is immune to fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the number one thing is doubt and fear. And honestly, I think the first thing you have to do is, first of all, just admit it, that you are scared and that it's okay.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, for like, sure. You're not abnormal for being scared,
mm-hmm.
right? Everyone is. And I think once you admit it and then give yourself permission to fail, you know what I mean? And then find that one person that is okay with you failing, like,
right,
regardless
right.
of what happens.
Right.
I think we seek sometimes too many people's affirmation. And before you know it, that's where we get our value. So give yourself permission to suck and then find that one person that is going to be okay regardless of how bad you do. They're
right.
always going to be there. They're going to be. And then you know what? That allows you just to take that first step, that second step. You know, because let's face it, Richard, there's probably been like some, am I doing the right things? Do I know enough to do this? But if you hear one thing in Richard's voice, and I think you can apply this in your own life, by the way, regardless of what your dream is if your passion and your vision is big enough, like, setbacks don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They're just part of the process.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the day, Richard can go, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. We're not getting enough money here and this, that, and the other. He goes, yeah, but there's a veteran out there that needs me.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
And you just love keep that. Going, right? So identify what your passion is and then, you know, admit that it's okay to be scared. Find that one person that's going to be on your team regardless, and then just take the first step.
Right. Absolutely.
That's my take.
No, that last little segue there, she says, take the first step. I think that's what it was for me. I found myself waiting for the right time. Like, I was going to, like, you know, let's put all my, you know, ducks in a row and tie a bow on this and that and get everything straight. And it was the moment at which I just kind of just fell off into there and be like, I feel like I'm not prepared for this. But then you find a way to become prepared, you know, and you take it day by day. And you know... the planning you've probably been doing for a while, it's maybe not ready, you don't feel like it's ready, but you just got to get in there and start doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's what it was for me.
Yeah, I've been so optimistic about life in general. I mean, the only reason I joined the Marine Corps is because I thought I could catch Saddam Hussein. I was like, someone's got to do it. Why can't it be me? The same thing with this going to the School Art Institute when I was told that I probably wouldn't get in there because I haven't been studying art long enough. And it was this optimism, like, I don't really care. I'm going to go for it no matter what. So if you have this kind of drive to where you're so optimistic, you just go for things. Yeah. And for this, like, I knew it saved my life. And at that time, I had my degree from one of the top art schools in the country. I guarded the president, which is just thrown out there real quick, but it's on a Donald's podcast. We can talk about that later.
No, seriously, it's on my podcast.
It really is. And that's no joke. So I'm just, the reason I say that, I usually don't talk about that, but it's like my resume was so good that I could have went straight into the job field. I could have went for a government job. I could have done pretty much anything I wanted to. But I knew that there was something out there that heals veterans that nobody's tapping into.
Right.
And I said, you know what? Screw it. I don't care if I go broke. I'm going to go for gold. Yeah. And even after having Jesse, the first veteran, go through, I was like, now I don't even care. I'm successful. If this fails, I'm still successful because I helped one person.
Right.
So just going from that perspective has helped me.
Can you touch on that real fast? Jesse, we've mentioned him a couple of times. Can you just briefly go through what his story was and him being the first veteran that you guys officially helped?
So yeah, because he was a... My school only had 22 kids in my graduating class. Oh yeah, and there's actually, I have photos, so if anybody wants one of these little doohickeys, you show that on there.
That's awesome.
This is actually a photo I took of Jesse, and I get closer. But he lost his leg, and he has burns all over his body from a V-bed in Iraq, which is just, someone was driving along, it was a suicide bomber, driving along him, and made it blow up. And so he had burns all over his body. He lost his leg.
Right.
Like, it was a horrible situation. And when he came home, he was still pretty much the same Jesse, but he was a recluse like I was. He wasn't really telling his story to people. And so when he came down, music was his passion though. So when I told him, I was like, hey, I know you don't like talking about this, but will you come to Nashville with me, a friend, and just sit down with these songwriters who some of them have number one hits. Right. And he's like, well, yeah, I'll do that. So when we got down there, it's like, let's talk about like what you're going through. And so he would sit there and he's like, man, people don't know what it's like to have to go to the bathroom at 4 a.m. and crawl to the bathroom floor because I can't put my leg on in time. Mm-hmm. People don't see that. So why do they tell me like, it's cool when I come home, like, oh, you look so good and you must feel blessed. And so at that time when he's telling his story, Noel and Jeff from Blackjack Billy are sitting there and Rob are going back and forth. And I think it was Noel was like, okay. He's like, so what about something like this? Like, say, boy, you're looking good. You know, we're glad you're back. Man, I heard you got hurt real bad. And he's like, something like that. And Jesse's eyes just lit up. And he's like, those are my words in a song. And he just kept going. He was like, this happened and this happened. And when that song wrapped up, he shared it on Facebook. He sent it to people. He was now telling his story when once he didn't want to. He was excited about it. I think it was his sister-in-law was like, oh my gosh, I never saw it from his perspective, and I feel like I know him more now.
Right.
And so it actually helped so many more people than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm just so happy Jesse took that dive and helped me out.
Yeah, great story.
That's a great story. So, shameless plug here. Grace says, you guys should start your own podcast. You all work so well together. I don't know if you want to...
Let us know what it is. We can hear the rest of the story about
Richard.
Believe
it or not, there's actually a podcast. It's actually right there.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. It's a huge supporter of Richard because it's actually one of the ways we met.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a fan of music. I'm not a music, but I just have so many songs that I love that for some reason never got cut, right? And I'm like, I'm going to start a podcast called Hits Collecting Dust because there's just so much talent out there. And then Richard and I meet because another really huge need, guys, for creative vets is finding these songwriters that can sit and listen to Richard talk to these. Would you say day in, day out? That's probably... One of the tougher things to do is to find writers to match with these veterans.
Yeah, because I recruit writers all the time, and I go out almost every night to find them. And then when I read what the veterans kind of like, what their favorite music is, and I talk to them on the phone, I kind of try to link them up with other songwriters who had that same personality or that could actually... Some of the best writers I know can't actually, and they admit that they can't handle going into a room with a guy and hearing his story and turning it into a song, and that's fine. But it's just like, so it's finding the right person, the kind of, right kind of writer that's willing to do that.
Right. And so if y'all are listening to this and you like to songwrite, and especially if you have a heart for veterans, which you should, but anyway, please reach out that way as well. But Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. I mean, it's my podcast. Richard's got two or three episodes already on it. Yeah. The first one's the best because he does sing two of the songs that y'all did write with veterans, and it's phenomenal. So yeah, thanks for that. Yeah. And hopefully we'll get these guys back in.
That's where DJ McCarty, he's on it too.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah.
But maybe we'll do another one of it. Just we'll get together and do some stuff for on sure. Podcast.
That's great. Luke, when can we expect an album?
Yeah, so again, we're back to kind of the drawing board with the TV show being put behind me.
I know
me
a
now.
Lot of people don't know that. Like, you should talk just a minute about that because you had your plan for three whole months or whatever, and just got wiped out.
Like, yeah, we talked about a lot on a lot of interviews last week about kind of the fallout. A lot of folks, if you don't know, expected me to be on the next season of The Bachelor. So I put my life on hold, all my music, everything was on hold until next spring. And then at the last minute, the contract was pulled and I was not going to be The Bachelor. So I'm happy of how that turned out, though. I'm back here in Nashville. I'm able to get back to what I'm passionate about. And, you know, we're going to work on releasing some music hopefully this winter. So we're relooking that timeline right now and what that looks like and what the next project's going to be. So, yeah, thanks for asking.
Great.
Has anybody asked if I was single over there, DJ?
Okay, that's right. Oh, right. Let me scroll through these.
Everybody keeps scrolling.
Donald's got some great jeans, by the way. He looks 10 years younger than he really is.
Oh, gosh. Which would make
and he's
like
single. Nashville Bachelor right here, people.
Oh, God. He's great. Drake's good. Yeah, I think there's a handful.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate
it. Read through the comments.
That's awesome.
Mom, quit commenting.
Yeah. He's wonderful.
No, that's good. I think we got a majority of the questions answered.
Awesome. Cool.
Very cool.
Well, hey, thank y'all for letting me take over Facebook Live today for Creative Vets.
Yep, we're recording.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, listen, we just had a Luke Pell takeover of the Creative Vets, which was awesome. We had a ton of people join us on Facebook Live, ask a ton of questions, and we learned a lot about Creative Vets. And it's just an awesome organization. So what I really wanted and hope that you would do, Richard, is actually play us one of those songs.
Yeah.
You know, with you know, maybe with a story, if you can, you know, with one of the veterans and kind of set that up and then play it for us.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool that I started as not a writer, really. I started as a facilitator to be able to tell veteran stories, help them open up enough. And throughout the time in writing with these awesome writers, I picked up on a lot of things and I kind of became my own writer, writing some of my own songs. So this story actually includes you because I found out that this veteran via Facebook was in the Nashville hospital at Vanderbilt. And so I contacted him, his wife, through Facebook. He was like, "Hey, I'm Richard Casper from Creative Vets. If your husband suffered any injuries in war, I'd like to come, you know, and just kind of surprise him with a guest or anything like that." And you and a friend came and we talked to him all throughout the night. And it was really cool because you actually got to see a veteran like open up even around you. And he was just like telling us stories from his hospital bed. And I knew I had to fly to Chicago that next day, but I was like, when I come back Thursday, I was like, that's my only open day, but I'm going to try to get writers to come in here and help share your story. And so the whole time I was in Chicago, I was texting everyone I knew. It was such short notice. Nobody could do it. And so finally day of, I was like, "Hey, just send me a bunch of stuff like that's weighing heavy on your mind. And I'll try to write this song. And if not, I'll just come and hang out with you and just, we'll spend some bro time together. And so you're not alone in the hospital." And so he sent me over some stuff and I was like, man, a while back I had this idea called Who I Am Is Not Who I Am, about that person that you become when you come back. It's like, you know that you're going to live this life, the person you are today, but it's not the person you are before. And you always want to be that person you are before. So you never really go into that part of your brain. And it's always like this kind of denial thing. And so when he was sending me over a story, I read a lot into that and I was like, man, I'm going to incorporate this new idea with this old hook that I had. So I started writing, and normally I leave that up to everybody else with the melodies and everything, but I just had a flow and I had all the way up to the chorus when I was like, hey, I was like, Danny, I'm coming over. We're going to hang out and we're going to write this song, finish it. And I went there and we finished the song and it was amazing. Like for me to actually finish a song on my own with a veteran.
Yeah.
And then for him to be so excited for something that I created from when I came, like I needed this from someone and they helped me. And now I'm actually the one helping this person with the song, not just facilitating it.
Yeah. And it hits home with me because, once again, like you said, I got to meet him and kind of hear a lot of what he was saying anyway. And so now to hear this song, it's like, it makes it even that much more, you know, yeah, special. So yeah, play it out for him, man.
All right. It's called Who I Am. Who I am is not who I am. Started when I talked with Uncle Sam. I wanted to be all I can be, following the footsteps of my family. They say there's no place like home, but even there I still feel all alone. So I go to the bar almost every night, 'cause I'd rather be overseas laying it on the line, to die with my brother who gave his life. I left the better part of me alive at his grave, and my worst comes out and I lose my way, so I pray I'll see him again one day. Who I am is not who I am. That blast made me feel like a broken man. Now I can't love like I used to love. It's the one thing warriors don't speak of. And they say there's no place like home, but even there I still feel all alone. So I go to the bar almost every night, 'cause I'd rather be overseas laying it on the line, to die with my brother who gave his life. Left the better part of me alive at his grave, and my worst comes out and I lose my way, so I pray I'll see him again one day. Who I am, not who I am. I just wanted you to know I'm doing the best I can. And I go to the bar almost every night, 'cause I'd rather be overseas laying it on the line, to die. Who I am is not who I am. Started when I talked with Uncle Sam.
Wow. God, those are a great song, but that's real. That's a real,
real.
That's a real story after a real veteran. And like I said, I was there when I got chills. So appreciate what you do, Richard. This whole thing has been awesome. And you guys, listeners, please, anything you can do to support, anything helps, honestly. And these are, you know, for our guys that totally, you know, men and women fought for us. We should definitely fight for them.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing.